Hello, everyone, and welcome to another episode of the Detroit Lions Breakdown Podcast. I'm Joe Cagna. With me, as always, is Eric Schlitt from USA Today. Lions Wire, this is the official Lions podcast of USA Today. Lions Wire, Eric, Lions, as they continue their descent down to earth, or whatever. Losers to the Minnesota Vikings 20-7 on Sunday. Surprisingly low score that they were able to hold the Vikings to only 20 points.
Yeah.
And maybe a little less surprising that finally the offense is a little ineffectual with the third string quarterback. We'll talk about that in a little bit.
I think it played out as expected. And I think there's almost an overreaction by we expected this to happen and then people saw it happen and then they're like, oh my God.
No, it's still disappointing.
I understand it's disappointing, but we all kind of knew this was how the game was going to play out.
I'm not expecting any wins here in the last three.
They're
going to play the Tampa Bay Buccaneers on Sunday at Ford Field. They're winners over the Indianapolis Colts 38-35 last Sunday. All right, let's talk about the injuries. Number one, Matthew Stafford. Do we even have to talk about it? It's still out.
No. No, I don't think there's a whole lot to say. I continue, the more that time passes, the more I think they are keeping him on the active roster so that they don't, so that they can have him available on the field in like almost like a coaching situation, yeah. So I don't know. That's my off the wall. I think I'm the only one that thinks that, so I could totally be wrong, but I don't know.
No, it makes sense.
Yeah, I mean, there's no reason for him to come back. He should recognize that at this point, I would hope.
All right, linebacker Jared Davis with his ankle and knee. He's not practicing the last couple days.
Yeah, he leaves the game with an ankle, then comes back in, then hurts his knee, and now he's out with his knee. And, you know, one, probably could have kept him going. Two, keeps him out. And it's not great for his status, but could be a nice opening for Jelani Tavai.
Yeah, but another looks like we're heading towards another disappointing campaign for Jared Davis.
He showed some promise over the last, four of the last 6 weeks. He's been playing a lot better. Overall, as the season goes on, he's found a niche in certain things, but he's still struggling in a lot of areas.
All right. Right tackle, Rick Wagner with his knee also didn't practice.
Yeah, he left halfway through the game, was replaced by Tyrell Crosby.
Saw a lot of Tyrell Crosby.
Yeah, and then ended up needing to take a couple days off here. And so expectations are if he's not back tomorrow, or at least limited tomorrow, it'll be Tyrell Crosby again on Sunday.
All right, next up, the left guard, Joe Dahl.
Now, this one's a bit surprising because he played a typical allotment of snaps in the game in Minnesota. But then one thing I noticed when I went back and watched it was he was not on the field for the final drive. They had Kenny Wiggins in. And I think that they probably would only had Kenny Wiggins in if something did happen to Dahl. So it's possible that he got, it's either his back or his knee. It's possible one of those things creeped up on him at the end of the game there.
Normal wear and tear for an offensive lineman.
And kept him out, which means we could get Kenny Wiggins at left guard.
All right, defensive tackle, A'shaun Robinson with his shoulder.
Yeah, and so he was in and out of the game as well. No practice Wednesday or Thursday, which means it could be Mike Daniels. And then we'll get to the fact that after Mike, if A'shaun can't go, it's going to be Mike Daniels, Damon Harrison. I almost said Damone.
Damone.
I know. Yeah. I got Damone on my mind, I guess. And then John Atkins. And then the fourth guy is a guy that we could, if A'shaun can't play, the fourth guy is going to be a guy that we just signed, because we'll get to a couple other things in a minute of why we're so limited up front right now.
All right, running back, Bo Scarborough with his ribs.
So he was estimated to be limited. And then on Wednesday, because Wednesday was a walkthrough. But then on Thursday, he goes out there and he's dressed, but he's not able to do anything. And so he was listed as not practicing. So if he's not able, now the idea is they thought he would be able to practice, right? So it's still possible. I still think it's possible he comes back and is able to play. But if he doesn't, we've seen this before. It'll be Ty Johnson and J.D. McKissic rotating through that backfield.
All right, edge rusher Austin Bryant with his hip. It's great they brought him back.
He comes off the upper body injury. Now he's got a hip injury. They thought enough of him last week that they kept him a game time decision. So he's limited this week in practice. So it's possible that they think he's going to be ready to go. At least the signs are pointing in that direction, right?
Linebacker Christian Jones, shoulder.
This is another one that kind of creeped up that we didn't really know about. But he's been limited as well. I'm kind of leaning towards he'll be okay to play. But again, it's hard to tell whenever someone gets a limited one.
Punter Sam Martin with his abdomen.
So this is typical, right, with him. He typically has been limited most weeks, then he plays. The positive news with Sam Martin is that he was back doing kickoffs again this week. So if he's doing kickoffs again, that means they're headed in the right direction.
Finally pass on using Matt Prater, who's great at an onside kick when he's kicking it right at somebody. But he's struggled a little bit here and there, kicking the ball deep. All right, Rashawn Melvin, corner, ribs.
Now he's full, right? So this one's interesting that he is full because he was active last week but did not play in the game. So Patricia was asked if he was kept out of the game for injury reasons or if he was kept out of the game because Orari had passed him on the roster. And he kind of skirted around it.
No way. That's not the Matt Patricia I know. Not answering questions.
But the final sentence in his answer said, we're comfortable with where we are with him. And things are playing out the way we want them to. Which kind of leads me to say, it sure sounds like Owarie has passed him. We'll find out on Sunday. You know what I mean? But it sounds like it's possible it could be Owarie starting at the cornerback 2 spot for the rest of the season.
All right, return man Jamal Agnew with his ankle. Looks like he's back.
Yeah, and you know, we thought he was going to come back for the game, and then he was a surprise inactive. And then now he's getting some work in today, and estimated yesterday. So we'll see, though. He's hard to predict because we don't know exactly. We think he's ready, and then he's not, and I don't know. I'm not ready to say he's in, even with a full practice.
Defensive tackle Damon Harrison, you pointed him out.
Yeah, full already. Practice. Estimated full practice on Wednesday. Takes his normal rest day on Thursday. As long as he practices in some fashion tomorrow, I should be good to go on Sunday.
All right. Gadget man and running back J.D. McKissic.
He was on the injury report for a non-injury related
incident. What does that mean?
It means that he had something off the field he had to deal with. Sometimes it's...
you had to go pay parking fines?
No, a lot of times it's their wife has a baby.
But we know about that. They always let us know that nowadays.
We find out after the fact. Like last year when it happened in camp, I found out about the Nevin Lawson stuff before anyone else did. And it was my big breaking news thing of last 2018 training camp. But it took a lot to make sure that was like accurate news. They just they tend to slow roll these things. It could be anything.
Well,
it could be
really
sick kid. It could be whatever. Right? Yeah. It could be a whole variety of things. But he's back, and they actually took him off the injury report now. So we won't really know why he missed. And honestly, it doesn't really matter.
All right. Two players have been moved to injured reserve. Two big ones. Everybody listening's probably already heard about both of them. Marvin Jones and Deshaun Hand both moved to IR.
Yeah, this is the second year in a row for both players that they were not able to make it through December. Both of them landed on injured reserve around this time.
Is Marvin last year that bad, or they just put him on it just to shut him down?
It's a good question. If you go back and you look at how he got injured, he gets his foot stuck in the dirt. The turf at U.S. Bank, right?
In the tires.
And he gets up, and he's basically lined up, and he's standing on, like, one leg. Now, he managed to finish out the drive hobbling along, but it was pretty obvious after the fact, when you know what to look for, that he looked like he was pretty significantly hurt. And if he has a high ankle, which is what it could be, that's 4 weeks. You know what I mean? And 4 weeks is the season. So at this point, anything that is longer than 2 weeks, you're probably going to go. And then it creates opportunities for younger players. You know, at this point in the year, Bob Quinn is at a point where he's willing to IR guys so that he can then acquire the rights for other younger guys that he can then add towards his 90-man roster for next year. That's what the futures deals will be about. But this is kind of another way to subset that, right? Where he's now able to, by putting a guy on IR and then promoting a guy, he's now getting a 2-for-1, and now he has a bigger roster of guys that he wants without having to pay extra, and he maintains rights longer. And there's a whole lot of benefits to a team that's out of it making moves like this down the stretch. He did the same thing last year, and this just opens up opportunities.
All right, so roster moves, and you pointed out Marvin Jones's injury makes some room for Travis Fulgham to move to the active roster to be the fourth receiver.
And that makes total sense, right? I mean, now you've got your entire draft class, except for P.J. Johnson, who they cut and then signed in San Diego's practice squad. And then
natives are getting restless.
So Fulgham is now the final piece here, right? Like, he has the same skill set as Marvin Jones, in my opinion. And he's a guy that they thought enough of to invest in a draft pick in. And now you've brought him back up. So now you've got your basically your entire draft class minus one on your active roster, or at least you have rights to them. And then you've added a whole slew of undrafted guys as well that you now have the rights to. And so you are... You're setting yourself up for next season at this point. This is just a kind of a long-term move for him.
All right. Defensive tackle Frank Heron has been signed off of Miami's practice squad. He might start on Sunday.
I don't think he'll start, but if A'shaun can't go, it means that it's going to be Heron behind Mike Daniels. Now, Heron is a guy who had a cup of coffee with the Lions earlier in the season. And when he left the Lions, he went to Miami, who runs that same Patriots-style defense. And he has been on their practice squad for most of the season. But now the Lions saw something in him that they liked. They've signed him off of Miami's practice squad, which means that they've paid him at least three games worth of a salary, which really isn't that much. It's like $90,000 for him or something like that right now. So it's not a whole lot. It doesn't guarantee him anything. But it's a position where they're awfully thin now that Deshaun Hand is gone and A'shaun Robinson is hurt and Kevin Strong is hurt. They need some bodies there. So this is a way to do that.
All right, resign linebacker Anthony Pittman to the practice squad, so he's back.
Yeah, as we kind of have talked about and as we kind of expected, right? He's a good, multifaceted linebacker who they think has some developmental properties. And, we expected that. This is not a surprise that he's back at any point.
All right, resign wide receiver John Duart to the practice squad, release tight end Cole Herdman in a corresponding move.
So Duart has been here... was here all offseason, all training camp. He was the other half of the Old Dominion team pairing. Fulgham was the one guy that they drafted. Duhart was the other guy that they brought in. So they have both of Old Dominion's starting receivers from last year. And he has, a nice skill set that they like. It fits what they do with this vertical passing game. So bringing him back in, giving him an opportunity, it's, again, a look towards the future here.
All right. That's enough of all that. Let's talk about the Vikings game, a 20-7 loss. As you mentioned, played out as expected. First off, David Blau, he comes back down to earth. 24-40 for 205 yards, a touchdown, and two interceptions. So a line similar to Jeff Driscoll's in his last game.
Yeah, eventually the backup quarterbacks plateau, right?
Yeah, well, they have good defenses, them on video, and want to defend.
A lot of people were getting very mad at Blau and very mad at the offensive.
How can you get mad at Blau? He's at the bottom of the depth.
He's an undrafted third-string rookie who's on the road against a top five defense.
But his name rhymes with Mr. Plow.
but I think we set our expectations too high on him.
Well, we just want, you know what I mean? I guess that's true, but at the same time, we just want something.
Sure.
You know, we want some sort of bright shining light in the season.
Yeah.
You know, we don't have it.
Well, we had it. He is not on injured reserve, but he's also not practicing.
Well, but that's different too. He's a known commodity, and he was having his best season or one of his best seasons. Mm-hmm. We want to see somebody emerge. I think that's what a lot of us want to see.
Sure, I get that. At the quarterback position, though,
well, it's it doesn't matter. Something.
No. I mean, look. You want to talk about guys that you know jumped out? We'll look at Tracy Walker. Look.
Is he going to the Pro Bowl?
He ought to. He's fantastic. And every offseason we reset the roster and we say who's the best player on this team, who's the second best player, right? We do that every year. Yeah. We rank the top 10. 20 or whatever it was, right? 10 or whatever.
What can't they live without?
Tracy is one of these players now. And he wasn't last year. He wasn't even starting last year. He is a player who, in my mind, is probably the third best defender on this team, right? In my mind, I think he's that good. I think you've seen when he's out how much he struggled, how much the team struggled without him because he's so versatile. He was my player of the game last game because I just think he's showed me that much in his ability to impact the game that he was deserving of that recognition. I mean, you want to watch a player develop in front of your eyes. I mean, he is it. Now, maybe he doesn't seem like he's a emerging player for people who have listened to us because I've been touting him.
Yeah, well, no, you've been going on about him like crazy. But
he's a guy that I think most people... I mean, to go from a non-starter to being probably the third most impactful player on defense, that's a big rise. That's a good attaboy for him. I think he's that important to this defense.
All right, Kenny Golladay breaks 1,000 yards on the season. He's got 53 catches for just over 1,000 yards, 10 touchdowns. He's almost 20 yards per reception, which is very impressive for a number one receiver.
The 10 touchdowns leads the league.
Leads the entire NFL.
The 1,000 gets him over 1,000 for the second time in 2 years, and he's one of only like 40 players to ever go over 2,000 yards in their first two career years in like the history of the NFL.
What was that?
Right? There are 41 players, I think, in the NFL history who have ever had 2,000 yards. Two of their first three seasons in the NFL went over 1,000 yards. Yep. So he's one of those guys.
We're going to see more of that now. It's more of a passing league, but it's great that he's one of them. He's a very good player.
And
he's probably our marquee name outside of Matthew Stafford.
And he's done it with three different quarterbacks, right?
Yeah.
It's not like he's just been, hey, I'm only good with Matthew Stafford. He has been good with Driscoll. He's been good with Blau. He's made an impact in every game he's played in regardless. And so, you know, you can now, if you're talking about top offensive players, I think Galladay's going to be in that mix for one of the top probably four offensive players on this team, in my opinion. So, yeah,
6 for 58, nice to see a touchdown.
That's good. It doesn't matter when it comes. He's producing one way or another.
All right, Scarborough, he keeps getting positive plays. His fourth straight game with at least 55 yards rushing. He made it all the way up to 65, but on 19 carries. So he's not cracking 3.5 yards a carry, but Minnesota has a very good defense.
Or not Sunday, yeah. Yeah, and yeah. But he's still churning out the yards. That was something that was hard to find. But his
team
style,
only had 70 yards rushing, though.
But his style, it leads to getting hit, and that leads to injuries, and that's one of the big consequences of having a back like him. So I know people, there's a lot of people out there saying, Kerryon wasn't producing the way that Bo is. I think, you know, Bo should be the starter over Kerryon. I'm not in that boat. If that's your point of view, that's fine. I understand the statistical argument behind that. In my opinion, yes, Kerryon has had some injury history, but so has Bo Scarborough. That's one of the reasons why I had Bo Scarborough ranked so low in my on my draft board. I think I gave him like a 7th round grade or something like that. Maybe it was a 6th. But I had him really late, and one of the reasons was he was injury prone. And so you're gonna have him next year. You're gonna have Kerryon Johnson next year. You're gonna have Ty
Johnson
next year.
Hopefully both healthy.
Ideally, right? And then Ty Johnson makes a nice third. I see no reason for them not to bring back J.D. McKissic, who will be a restricted free agent. Now you have four. And let's see what else they can add to the backfield.
Camp fodder.
I think they're going to still try and go after another good running back, whether the draft or I don't know if they'll find any. I haven't really looked that deep at free agency. I don't think there's anybody out there that's that is going to appeal to them that they're going to want to spend big money on, especially, like I said, with all these three of those four already coming back and potentially all four. So we'll see. I hope he plays again because he's fun to watch. But, injuries are part of his game, unfortunately.
All right. The run defense continues to improve. They gave up 120 yards rushing, but on 39 carries. So
yeah.
Vikings only cracked 3 yards per carry. And begrudgingly, Dalvin Cook only had 62 yards on 18 carries and only 13 in the passing game after having 140 on the ground last time around, which, is fine. I'd rather see the Lions win than my fantasy stats get racked up.
But, sure.
Although it did get a win on that team, so everything's all right.
Mike Daniels finally became the Mike Daniels that we paid for, right?
Only took 12 games.
Right? And
we'll get a good 4 games out of him.
That is, hopefully... Right?
Maybe.
We finally got
$2 million a game.
Rough, right?
They get good ones out of him.
Played well, though. His numbers were up. His production was up. And they may need him to continue to step up.
Somebody's got to go out there.
Yeah.
All right. Trey Flowers now has 6 sacks in the last 6 games. So he's finally starting to show some usefulness after that large offseason contract.
And he's one of only three players to have 6 sacks in each of the last 3 seasons in the NFL. So, there's some good company that he's in with. And his production is quiet, but it's there. And I think people are slowly starting to see that. And I think he's slowly starting to get healthy, too, which is, playing a factor into this. But he's starting to become the player that, again, we thought we were going to see earlier in the season.
All right, coverage is still an issue overall.
Yeah.
Kirk Cousins only 242 yards passing, but on 30 attempts, so that's 8 yards per attempt. They didn't really need him to throw a lot.
That's the issue, right, is when he wanted to, he could, right?
24 of 30, so that's what, 4 of 5, that's 80%
passing.
Yeah. Yeah, 80% passing.
It's significant.
That's a bad pass defense.
Still the Achilles heel. And with this team coming up in Tampa Bay.
Oh, Tampa loves to throw the football.
They love to throw. So
this
it's going to be.
This can get exciting
Sunday. Vegas thinks that there could be some points scored in this one.
We'll get to that in a minute.
Right. All right. We should probably actually move on towards that here.
All right. So, after the loss.
Yeah.
We'll talk about the Buccaneers.
Okay.
Tampa 6-7. They're head coached by Bruce Arians. He's the ageless wonder. offensive coordinator Byron Leftwich and the defensive coordinator Todd Bowles, former head coach of the New York Jets. Vegas, the Buccaneers opened as 3.5-point favorites. I think that's been shrinking
over the last couple.
Yeah, I thought so. I could be wrong.
It was still at 3.5 when I checked yesterday. Okay. I did not check today.
I could be making it up.
No, but
it's growing.
It seems right.
It's sitting at 3.5 and 4. All right, so yeah, it's staying right where it is. Only one. Oh, it opened at 4, and now most casinos have them at -3.5.
The website that we use at Lions Wire has them at 3.5. That's what we've used. That's what I've referred to pretty much all season.
Over under 47.5, which would be there's only a couple of games expected to have more scoring than that.
Yeah, and again, these are two defenses that can give up the pass, and they give up points. Both teams give up points.
And Jameis can be a turnover machine. We'll talk about that in a minute.
Yep.
All right, so the referees, Adrian Hill, 15.42 penalties per game, and slightly above average, although the average keeps dropping.
Yeah, over the last down to 14 weeks. Now, right?
They're letting them play as the playoffs approach.
Yep.
All right, so we're going to be on Fox with Dick Stockton and Mark Sklareth, which is not the greatest duo. Jennifer Hale as the sideline reporter. And we mentioned earlier they beat the Colts 38-35. And they are in a little bit of a hot streak. At one point, the Buccaneers were 4-7. And we were hot on their heels for moving up in the draft positioning. But now they're 6-7.
Yeah.
Definitely not in playoff contention. But the two teams, they didn't beat. Their last two games, they only beat Jacksonville and Atlanta, which aren't the greatest teams.
Correct, yeah. The win over the Colts is nice, but again, shootouts are going to favor Tampa. That's how they've been winning recently. They're putting up points, at least 28 points in their last three. So, can the Lions put up 28 to stay with them? That'll be the interesting question, right?
All right, so the fun little factoid, just want to read it. On November 13th, 1994... Hall of Fame running back Barry Sanders ran for a career-high 237 yards against Tampa Bay. Remember the game? The number is still a franchise high for a single game and led Detroit to a 14-9 victory. Not going to affect this game at all.
239 yards.
237.
237, they scored 14 points.
14 points. It's a different game back then.
Barry was a different back.
No, he was the greatest of all time, but I'm biased because I watched him play.
Yeah.
All of his games, whereas, I didn't see very much of Marion Motley, only on NFL film specials. All right. Excuse me.
Are you okay?
Yeah, no, that came out of nowhere. All right, so the DVOA rankings, the Bucs offense only ranked 21st, but I think that takes into account turning the ball over.
Yeah.
Lions defense has crept its way up to 24, which is shocking.
What it is?
That's why I don't love these DVOA rankings.
It's run defense. It's the run defense that has helped. Because their pass defense is still at 25.
All right, so. Right. And the DVOA of the Bucs passing offense is 18th.
Yeah, and again, that's, I think, turnover related because he throws those picks. They're running
456 passing yards last game. 4 TDs, 3 picks.
Yeah.
It might be a fun game to watch if you haven't watched Tampa this season.
Well, let's talk about Jameis right now. Jameis has got a broken thumb on his throwing hand.
Oh, boy. He's still going to come out and sling it around. He doesn't want to miss this match.
And he's still going to play. Yep. Yeah. He has said he's going to play. They have said he's going to play. So he's going to take that broken thumb out there, and he's going to try and sling it around. But
for a
guy who's already a bit turnover prone...
Bit 23 now, interceptions leads the NFL through 13 games.
23. So for a guy who's turnover prone and now you put an ailment on his throwing hand, it sure seems like he could hang a ball or two out there.
We'll see. They gave him the juiciest pass defense in the league, though, to face on Sunday. That's why he's playing. I'm sure if it was like San Francisco got rolled out there, he'd be like, I'm going to sit this one out. But he's got the Lions. All right, so... running the ball, they haven't been that great running the ball over the last couple of years. Ronald Jones II, Peyton Barber, and Dare Ogunbowale, that we'll see all three of them. And everybody, fantasy owners, hope that Peyton Barber, Ronald Jones II can get on a hot streak, but they haven't.
Last game they rotated all three pretty close to even, a little bit more towards Barber and Jones, but they will rotate through all three.
All right, the wide receivers are Chris Godwin and not Mike Evans because he won't be playing this
week. No, he's going to get shut down. I don't know if he has been shut down or if he just is reportedly going to be shut down, but he's not going to play. That's a guarantee.
All right, but we will see then in his place a very well-known Lions name, Breshad Perriman, whose father played for the Lions back in the Barry Sanders era that we just aforementioned.
Yeah, talent galore, but he's never really been able to put it together. Began his career in Baltimore. And he'll match up with he'll start with Godwin. Now Godwin was the guy that the Lions were targeting, and then Tampa Bay drafted him, and the Lions then selected Kenny Golladay instead. So they were targeting either Godwin or Golladay with that third round pick a couple years back, and I don't think you could go wrong either way. Both guys are playing extremely well. Godwin is having a great year.
81 catches, 1,212 yards. That's 15 yards per reception and 9 TDs. So he's nipping at Galladay's heels when it comes to touchdowns, and he's well ahead of him when it comes to receptions, and he's got a big chunk of passing.
Yeah, behind on average, right?
Yeah. He's a deep threat too, but Galladay's more and more of a deep threat.
Yeah. And Galladay's more of a number one. Body type than Godwin, but Godwin is a very good player. You could see it when he was at Penn State. You could see that potential. And he was a guy that I really was hoping that the Lions were targeting, and then I found out after the fact that they were. That was their plan, and then they ended up with Golladay instead. But good for both players. They're both playing at a high level right now. So we'll get to see Godwin. We'll get to see Perryman. Scott Miller's their number three. He's injured. We don't know if he'll play, but Justin Watson has stepped in. He's done all right. But really, they have a couple tight ends there that they like to lean on.
O.J. Howard and Cameron Brait. Some people have wanted O.J. Howard as a Lion.
Sure. Yeah. I mean, he had that before Hockenson came along. They thought, okay, if we could get O.J. Howard from Tampa Bay, then we can solve this. We can have this guy that can both pass block and run block and catch. But Howard has never really lived up to his expectations.
27 receptions, 367 yards, one touchdown this season.
Yeah, he plays the majority of their snaps, whereas Brait is kind of their second fiddle. They're both technically listed as starters. And I think with Mike Evans gone, we're going to see both of them a lot more on the field than what we've seen in the past. It'll be interesting to see how the Lions counter that. They could very easily use their safeties on that and use some more three safety sets than they have in the past. And just try and put two of their safeties on these two tight ends and just try and take them away that way and leave the corners to deal with Godwin and Perryman.
All right. You want to talk about the offensive line?
They're pretty good.
But a little banged up, but everybody is at this point.
Yeah. Alex Kappa, their right guard, is a bit banged up. He's been replaced by Earl Watford, but Watford's actually been playing very well in his own right. The rest of that offensive line is a bunch of day two picks, right? You got Donovan Smith at left tackle, who's a second rounder. Ali Marpet at left guard, who's a second rounder. I mentioned Kappa was a third rounder. Damar Dotson was an undrafted guy, but he's been a guy who's developed into a nice right tackle over the years. Their center, Ryan Jensen, was a guy that Baltimore developed. So they've got some nice
players. They pieced together an offensive line a different way than the Lions have pieced together their offensive line.
Sure, but their offensive line has been holding up, and that's been a big reason why they've been able to throw the ball, right?
Yeah.
So that's their offense. Their offense is going to chuck
around. Explosive offense, but it could also...
Well, it's Arians.
It could also implode on itself.
Yeah, I mean, it's fun. Yeah. It's what you expect from Bruce Arians, right? You expect that, you know, we saw that so often from him.
Young at heart when it comes to offense.
Right.
All right, going to the defensive side of the ball. Bucks defense, according to DVOA rankings, is number 10 with the Lions offense sitting at number
18. What's strange, though, is they have given up their 31st in points allowed.
Well, because they're always out on the field, I would assume. When you throw 23 interceptions, mm-hmm. that's 23 more times the defense is, you know, going back out on
right.
the field.
Right, so they give up a lot of points because of those turnovers.
So we're going to see some very familiar names on the defensive line. Number one, Ndamukong Suh. We really don't need to talk about
him.
Everybody knows him.
Yeah, they run like a 3-3-3-4, so he plays like their 5 technique.
Vita Vey, which is playing the nose tackle, which many people want. That's another Lions target.
For sure. Everyone should be familiar with them.
Or last year.
Yeah, Vey out of Washington. He went in the first round last year.
And then finally, William Golston, the Michigan State Spartan, who, I don't know, he was okay. He was a 5-star recruit, so everybody thought he was going to be a lot better. But he's carved out a nice career for himself here in the NFL.
He his snaps are a bit down last week, but he's been playing pretty good overall on the season. So
six
nice
years
to see.
In the league.
Yeah, it's nice to see because he had underachieved, I think, in those first couple of years, right? And he's starting to come into his own right now. So,
all right. So the linebackers, they got Carl Nassib, Devin White, Levante David, and Shaquille Barrett. Once again, Devin White is another Lions type. Tampa drafts near the top like we do every year.
You know, so Nassib is a guy, former Brown, who
Yeah, he was an undrafted guy, went to Penn State. Mm-hmm. He was a big, I think he was a walk-on at Penn State who delivered a lot of sacks in his Penn State career and has turned himself into an NFL player.
Played opposite of
Myles Garrett.
No, the guy we drafted out of Penn State.
Oh.
I'm blanking on his name in the seventh round. Zettel.
Yeah.
And so, but yeah, so he, Nassib was a D-end for Cleveland. They stand him up here in Tampa Bay. On the opposite side is, like you said, Shaq Barrett. Shaq Barrett is having a monster year. He's had, he has like 13 and a half sacks or something ridiculous like that, I think. But they also have Jason Pierre-Paul. Now, he's technically not listed as a starter, but he plays starter snaps. So you see him supplement in for Nassib, and you'll see him rushing off the edge a lot as well. But
Shaq Barrett, 15 and a half sacks.
15 and a half, even more. Pierre-Paul, though, is injured, as is, I guess, kind of typical with him. He's been oft injured for a while now.
Oh, I thought you were going to make a fireworks joke.
No. But... but he's another good pass rusher. He's another good pass rusher. And so they have a couple of good, you know, guys that they can bring off the edge. And like I said, like you just mentioned with Barrett, his sacks are way up there. Now, Devin White and Levante David, those are your off-the-ball guys. Now, Levante David is a fantastic, rangy, inside middle linebacker. And Devin White plays, you know, that inside next to him as well. Now, Devin White is such
struggling
a
little bit.
Well, he's an interesting guy because if you look at PFF, PFF hates him, and they think and they say he's struggling. And then you look at the NFL, and the NFL's like, he's on the all-rookie team, right? Because he's the best middle linebacker in this rookie class. And I don't know. Like PFF would say Jelani Tavai playing better than him. You know what I mean? But it's it just depends. It's all perspective based, right? Which guys do you which unit do you like, I guess. And he's a good player, but, you know, most rookies struggle. He was a guy who a lot of Lions fans liked. I didn't like him as much as I liked Devin Bush, and I think, you know, but he went earlier, and he's their starter. He's going to be out there 100% of the time, and you're going to get a lot of them.
All right, moving to the defensive backfield. Their DVOA rankings and pass defense is 19th, and Mr. Blau and company finds themselves at 12th, but that's mostly Matthew Stafford's doing.
Yeah.
The corners are Carlton Davis and Sean Murphy Bunting, and we'll see a lot of Jamel Dean.
Yeah, they'll run. They run a lot of three corner and three safety sets. So while I said at the top they're like a 3-3-3-4, they do run a lot of a lot of 3-3 and then use a lot of nickel. But they'll also go into dimes. And it's similar. It's not the Lions defense, but there's a similar usage of personnel, right? So they'll use these three corners at different points. Last game they used them quite a bit against Indy, trying to slow down Indy's attack. But again, we're going to see a lot of the three safety sets as well. But I think the safeties is more about the fact that they haven't really found a guy that they like. You know, they have one starter in Jordan Whitehead, who was a fourth round pick in 2018.
Yep.
But then they drafted Mike Edwards in the third round this year. Haven't been super happy with him. They've been using Andrew Amos. And he's been struggling, so they've been kind of splitting duties with them. And the safeties, I'd say, are weak. That's their weak part. So weak over the middle. It'd be a nice day to have
T.J. Hockenson in the lineup.
Yep. And so maybe that means Logan Thomas has
he's been
some
seeing
more
the ball a lot more lately, or at least they've been getting involved more.
I think it's going to lead more. I mean, look, you're without Marvin. But you can still stretch the field with Fulgham. You can still stretch the field with Lacy. I think you're going to see more deep routes with Galladay, where he's coming over the middle and trying to lose the safety and get into or lose the corner, get into safety coverage, and try and, you know, hit those 15, 20-yard passes over the middle to Galladay. And that might be your answer, because if you're the way that this offensive skill players is shaking out right now, you've got Amendola and Galladay, and then a bunch of patchwork everywhere else on the roster. So,
yeah, it's crazy what Tampa does a nice job at picking in the second round. Yeah. Look at all these second-round draft picks that play. Carlton Davis, Sean Murphy Bunting. They're not necessarily the great. Levante David, who's an excellent player. Yeah. Donovan Smith, Ali Marpet, like, and Ronald Jones. Look at all these second-round picks on the roster that are playing.
Mm-hmm. It's like the opposite with the Lions.
Definitely the opposite. Not many of their second-rounders make.
Yeah, for a long time, they struggled getting any second-rounders. Recently it's been different. You know, Bob Quinn missed on tees in the second round. That
most famously.
Right? But then you hit on, I don't know, can you call it a hit on Ashawn? Maybe. Well,
he's had some injuries. He's been decent.
But again,
when he plays.
Do you call it a hit on Kerryon? Because he's had a couple injuries.
It's hard to say. Yeah, right? Hard to say.
And then this year it's Tabai, the book is still out on.
Yeah,
but
it's too early.
You like his potential. Darius Slay is a former second rounder, but that's Mayhew, not Bob Quinn. So, yeah, it's nice when you can keep the guys that you draft, right?
Yeah.
It's always nice.
Yeah, and you eventually develop them. They play. That would be a nice change of pace.
Mm-hmm.
All right. So after all of this, well, we want to talk about a little bit of special teams. Yeah. They're coordinated by Keith Armstrong. Their DVOA ranking is 13th, and the Lions keep sinking. They're down to 14th now.
Yeah,
those are strong suit. Not anymore.
Missed field goals and missed tackles over the last 2 weeks have really dropped them. And like you have pointed out in the past, there's only so many special teams plays, so you make a couple of errors, all of a sudden it's easy for you to drop.
So the Buccaneers kicker is Matt Gay. The punter is Bradley Pinion.
Pinion's good. Matt Gay, not so much. But Pinion is a good punter.
Return man, TJ Logan, what can you say about him?
I don't know. He played in North Carolina. He's got some speed. That's about it. He's a running back by trade. He was a guy a lot of Lions fans liked. I know Lions looked at him, but he's a speed guy. He's kind of like what Amir Abdullah was, except faster.
And a couple of notes on the practice squad. Jeremiah Ledbetter finds himself on the practice squad, as well as former Lions quarterback Chad Kanoff.
Oh, yeah.
Yeah.
One of the multiple guys that took snaps under center in a Honolulu Blue this year.
All right. So, Eric, they're at home.
Oh, yeah.
Probably wearing silver and blue.
Jeez.
Unless they go blue on blue.
You know what? I didn't even know. Who won last game? I didn't even bother to check.
The Vikings.
No. No, I mean between us.
I had them 42-28 Vikings.
So 12, so you won.
I was a point off.
Oh, that means I think I have to win out then, right?
Unless
you've already won.
I thought I ended it.
Oh, you may have.
The last week, but
you may have already ended it.
I did not have the official statistics there.
So at this point, I'm just barking up a tree, I guess. Yeah, I can look it up real fast for you.
It might be the information our listeners care least about. And we'll put a little seconds.
I'm fascinated by it. You were up 3-6. Now you're up 3-7. Yeah, I can't beat you. You won. Congratulations.
Yeah, no, you're interested by it because you can't believe how I beat you.
Well, you know, like I said last week, I got a couple of quarterback changes at the last minute that we didn't know about when we made these picks, but. I digress. I had an off.
You can still tie me. You have to win these last four, and you'll tie.
No, there's only three.
Oh, there's only
left.
Three. All right, I'm counting it. I see the weeks instead of the number.
I'm a couple
of
weeks
games.
Back here.
All right. It is over.
Yeah, it's done. And I don't know. It doesn't really matter who picks where, I guess. Let's just try and pick an honest game and see who you think.
Buccaneers 35, Lions 26.
I don't think it's going to be that high. I think it's going to be closer to like a 27-24, 27-20 type of game. I'll go with 27-24.
Lions or Buccaneers?
It's hard for me to pick the Lions right now just because I have no answer for their skill. I might even say 20 because I don't know their skill players. Who's going to produce? Who's going to step up? I think the Buccaneers could. I think they're going to score four touchdowns and miss an extra point. You know what I mean? Like, it's going to be silliness. But yeah, I'm going to go. I'll go 27-20 just because I'm just not confident that they can do anything other than Kenny Golladay right now, especially with all the injuries that they have. It's a very difficult road for them. Now, maybe Blau can catch some magic at home again, but I don't know where the offense is coming from. I don't right now. Like I said, it's Kenny, and if they just want to double and triple team Kenny, that's probably going to
probably be successful doing that.
Yeah, it's probably going to help a whole lot. All right. So what? I'm sorry. What was your score again?
Mine was 35-26.
Okay. Wow, that's a big one. All right. So hopefully I can save face, get a little bit closer, and then I won't look like I got hammered. At least in the statistical category here.
All right, so with all the losing the Lions have been doing, what is that, seven out of the last? I'm sorry.
We're picking...
Now I'm picking five.
Yeah, fifth. And I mentioned last week that we had to keep an eye on the Giants, right?
Because that's the bit, because who's going to get Chase Young?
And if the Giants would have lost... Last on Monday night, you know, they go to overtime with the Eagles.
Yeah, no, we were all rooting for the Giants in that one.
And if the Giants win that one, there's a realistic chance the Lions can get up to two. Now, with them losing in overtime, now it looks like the best the Lions would do is three. The worst they'll do is like eight or something like that.
Yeah, well, they could go on a tear and finish... with six wins, 6-9-1,
right. So they could drop a little bit. I guess they could drop a little bit further. But if you're someone that's hoping for them to rise up the draft board, it's the Giants have a couple of games against guys that are in matchups against or who are currently ranked ahead of the Lions in the draft order. So it's still going to be tough sledding to kind of get into to the young category here. But, you know, it sure looks like they're going to be in the top five again. And that's unfortunate. But
I wonder if a lot of talk, well, once we get into draft time, will start centering around the idea of, yeah, we're not going to get Chase Young and Joe Burrow is going to go number one. Do they take Tua or Justin Herbert, depending on how well he does in the combine?
It's not gonna. I don't think Herbert will go that high.
But the idea of, well, how could you pass up on one of these guys? Well, and pull the Andrew Luck, Peyton Manning thing. And I'm not saying, I'm not rooting for this to happen. Sure. I'm just throwing it out there to see what you think, because Stafford would then have a lot of value to a contender. But then they would be getting draft picks that are later in the draft.
I don't think that's. A scenario that I would envision them going. I don't think that's something they would consider. You've got a quarterback who's playing well and was at the top of his game before he got injured. This offense fits him. If you're going to keep your coaching staff, even if you change the coaching staff, I still think he's going to be that centerpiece that you're going to want to build around. There's a plethora of holes all over the roster that you're going to have to fill. The issue will just really become, if you're picking at three, it's where's the best value. I don't think it's going to be at quarterback. I don't think Tua at three is going to make sense to teams because
we don't know how healthy he's going to be.
Right, and then Herbert's not going to be up there. Jordan Love's not going to be up there. I think you're going to be looking at a lineman. I think you're going to be either looking at an offensive lineman or a defensive tackle, or maybe a hybrid player like that, they can do the interior and the edge. But, you know, I wouldn't rule out... I think everything is pointing towards linemen right now. And based on what they have on their roster, the problems that they have, the potential holes that they have coming up in future off seasons, it just makes the most sense to get a guy who you can put in, plug and play, and be happy with. Because they're going to have decisions to make at some key positions.
Head coach.
I mean,
I know they're not making a decision there that he's going to stay.
You never know. But But I do think that they're going to have to make a decision on Taylor Decker at left tackle, and they're going to have to make a decision on Darius Slay at corner. And those are two very key positions. And so I could really see them targeting a player in the first round this year who could be their successor. Excuse me. Like, I could see them taking a corner that's going to replace Slay immediately or a year from now. And I could see them taking an offensive tackle that could be Decker's replacement or maybe Rick Wagner's replacement now, and then Taylor Decker's replacement a year from now. Like, so there's a lot of things to consider, and I'm more likely to see them going straight D tackle. Like, there's going to be a lot of options. They're going to have a ton of time to talk about this. I'm interested to hear, like, are you sold on the fact that Patricia is coming back?
Oh, yeah. It's not going anywhere.
Do you have a reason why? Or you just
did they asked him, not today, I think it was yesterday, or maybe it was the day before, is this rebuilding? Are you in the middle of rebuilding? And he said, well, I'm not going to answer that this year. So he knows there's already a next year.
Well, that question, they were specifically trying to get him to use the word rebuilding.
Because then it turns into, oh, look at this farce. We were supposed to go to the next level, and yeah, now they're saying that a rebuild was required.
That was an angle from that reporting agency that they were trying
to... It's not a nuts question. They've gotten significantly worse since the firing of Jim Caldwell.
But this particular person was looking for a soundbite. They weren't looking for an answer.
He doesn't like Patricia. Was this also the same guy Patricia told to sit up straight?
No, totally different. That was a written reporter. This was I'm looking for a sound bite for my audio news reporting job. Without throwing that agency under the bus, I think we all kind of know who they are. But they were looking for a soundbite. They weren't looking for an actual answer. They just wanted to have him use the word
rebuild,
so that they could talk about it ad nauseum for the next 6 months.
Yeah, well, that's a shame. There's too bad. It's too bad. There's not two big sports stations to compete with one another. Well, no, it's true. When there's nothing else to listen to, and you want to listen to people talk about sports, you really only have one option.
Well, no, you have podcasts now.
But not everybody's harnessed that in the car, and our ratings will reflect that. When you're going to talk about that in a second, just kidding.
That's true.
But not everybody does that yet in their cars, even though most cars can do it.
Yeah,
you know, my car's 7 years old and can do it. You know, so we're getting to that point where hopefully everybody else... And sometimes they're hard to access when you're in the car, especially in older models.
Yeah. I mean, they got apps for everything though now, right?
They do.
And so hopefully, you know, I know we haven't got this on Spotify yet, and I know people are very anxious for us to do that.
Yeah, we got to take some
time. We got to figure that out. We'll that's one of our things that we want to get done on the agenda. I have a handful of things that I want to try and take care of this off season. I have an idea on how to introduce my draft board maybe to some listeners, create some different things for our listeners, and there's some ideas, but we'll get into it a lot more. Our draft stuff will start getting hot and heavy here. I know we're kind of...
At the end of the regular season, we only got 3 more games.
Yeah, we're kind of limping through the end of the season just like the team is.
Yep.
We're trying...
Our wheels are falling off here.
Well, we're trying to maintain a schedule that we've established the last 3 years, and hopefully our listeners are still appreciating that, but we're also trying to recognize the fact that hopefully people are tuning in for the fact that they're looking towards the offseason. We're going to try and look towards the offseason a little bit here as well. So,
all right, so our reviews did not get a bump up. They remain at 255.
Yeah, not yet. I'm sure that'll happen, like I said, when we get into the draft stuff.
Yeah, because I'm sure everybody's abandoning us at this point. Nobody wants to listen to any of this anymore. Tired of the Lions.
But you know what?
The season immersively end.
Here's what we're going to do. When the season ends, we're going to start taking questions again, and we're going to start getting more specific things on what people have questions about, and we're going to get into like deep details on things. I've had people asking me questions about scheme and positioning and how things, and I want to be able to get into that so that we can point people in the right direction towards what types of players the Lions might be targeting in the offseason.
And we could do, hopefully we'll do all that early. And if they do make a coaching change, you could do it all over again with the new scheme. All right, that's it. That's really all the time we have for today. We thank everybody for listening. We really appreciate you all tuning in. It's the only reason why I really do this. Although I am rather narcissistic and like the sound of my own voice.
Well, so am I. Yeah.
Right. So that's it. That's all we got. So let's hope the Lions get a win. I don't know. Maybe, man, I don't know who we... Do we even care if the Lions win on Sunday?
Well, some people
really... Some people do, look, some people don't.
Yeah, and you know what? And I don't think there's a wrong answer to that. I don't think... If you're the person that wants them to win because you enjoy that, I think that's a... We should fully support that and say, hey, you want to watch your team be successful? 100% behind you. Go ahead. If you want them to lose so that you can get a higher draft pick so that you're improving the team around the road, I get that angle as well. I don't think there's a wrong answer. You can feel whichever way you want.
All right, so that's it. And until next time, and this is a universal, let's go Lions.